grammars correct, and then I will be getting them out to the council and commission for the consideration. And these are things we'll be discussing at a future January, February workshop. And again, they're just broad, general ideas to see if, based on whatever they've heard from all the interviews and public workshops, if they're on the right idea, and then if you wanted to move forward with those. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak regarding the land use plan this evening? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Rich Barrasso, and I live in Milton. I've been a Sussex County property owner for about 13 years. And in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm also, where I live is directly across from what was proposed to be the Overbrook Town Center.
Okay.
And I was an active member of Overbrook Town Center Coalition, and will continue to be an active member. It's one of a number of groups, if you're not familiar, that are citizen groups that are looking for more balance and more intelligent approach to growth. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before the commission this evening. I have five comments. Three are thank yous, and two are asks. In terms of thank yous, thank you number one is to Lawrence Lank for his decades of service to the county. He was very, very helpful to the OTCC group. He was available, he was approachable, he was honest, and on behalf of OTCC, we appreciate the great work that you've done for the county. Thank you. The second thank you is to Mr. I.G. Burton for the courage and the leadership that you demonstrated at the June 11th, 2015 P&Z meeting. Your motion to deny the TD Rehoboth request for zone change, in our minds, was monumental. You recognized the substantial public testimony opposition in the application. You spoke to the inappropriateness and the inconsistencies of the application with the surrounding areas. But most importantly, you indicated that it did not satisfy the purpose of the county zoning ordinance to promote the orderly growth of Sussex County. Thank you number three is to the county, its leaders, and the employees for the extraordinary work and the design of the Sussex Comprehensive Plan website, especially the ease in accessing it and the ability to explore and engage in the 2018 Comprehensive Plan process. I attended the Lewis meeting. I've gone to the website numerous times. I've looked at every community, how you've organized all the elements in terms of the information that you gathered, and we hope that going forward, those suggestions, those comments, will be clearly incorporated into the plan. I've read every word of every word, all 206 pages of the 2008 Comprehensive Plan. I've also reviewed each of the 8 annual reports to the Governor's Advisory Council on Planning. In the 2008 plan, it states that Sussex County recognizes that implementing a growth management strategy requires more than well-intended policies. County ordinances are the teeth needed to support county policies. Regarding my first ask, regarding the 2008 Comprehensive Plan, what are the measures or the metrics for evaluating the effectiveness of the current 2008 comp plan? And I'll put that to the commission or whomever.
Well, I think that's part of the ongoing review of the plan that we're working on. With the consultant, what we're looking at, we're still fairly early in it, there's going to be workshops. That's going to be an evaluation of what worked, what didn't, what coincided with the directions of that plan, what lessons we've learned from that plan, and what can be changed. I mean, I think that there's not necessarily like a document that's going to come out of that where there's going to be an evaluation of it with a spreadsheet, you know, this work does, but it's all integrated into what we're doing moving forward. Because obviously one of the basic issues with the current plan is, you know, if it still works, there's not really a reason to, you know, parts of it. If parts of it still work, there's not a reason to rewrite the whole thing. So we've got to evaluate what worked, what didn't work, and then kind of go from there. So I know that was a long answer to your question, but it's not like one review. It's an ongoing review as part of the new plan. So.
Well, we know that it's a work in progress from the first comp plan to the next comp plan. But I guess when there are 23 recommended ordinances and 8 were adopted.
Now, I can answer that question if there was an evaluation of that, because that's a question that comes up all the time. So there was actually an evaluation of those ordinances. When the comp plan process went from having to do a comp plan every 5 years to every 10 years, I don't know if you're familiar with that. It was a good thing because if you had to do it every 5 years, you barely saw how your prior one worked or not by the time you were writing your new one. So anyway, they extended it to 10 years, and I think it was 5 years into ours when they did that. But you have to do an annual report to the governor and Office of State Planning Coordination. The first one of those went through each of those 18 or 23 ordinances and talked about whether they were all considered, whether they were implemented or not. And in fact, several of them were consolidated into one ordinance. So it's not like there was whatever the number was, and then there was an ordinance that matched that. Several of them were sort of similar enough an issue that they could be dealt with in one ordinance. Then, as I know Chairman Wheatley can attest to, because we actually had a joint meeting with Council and Planning and Zoning, we went through all of them that hadn't been previously acted on. But there is, and I think that's on the county's website, you can actually go through and find that first report that goes through each one of those ordinances.
So. Okay, the difficult word of that process was that the council just had to consider it.
Yeah.
And they stated on those ones they didn't act on that they considered it.
They just didn't vote on it.
Yeah. Yep. Because I know that my limited understanding is the fact that the only law that comes out of the comprehensive plan are the ordinances.
Yeah, well, that's true, but there's also the maps and there's other parts of it that have the force of law. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's a tremendous amount of work in the plan to come up with those recommendations. And I think the public scratches his head saying, well, if there was a lot of thought put into it, mm-hmm. 23 of them or 20 of them, whatever, and 8 are adopted, it's just a matter of if there are impediments where the public can be involved, at the very least a better understanding in terms of when it doesn't move forward, you know, what are the issues?
Well, I don't know that 8's the right number. I'll just leave it at that because I think there were more that were incorporated into a single ordinance. I think it was 14 that... You know, and there were some that, I'm not going to get too far in the weeds tonight, but like transfer development rights, at that point they considered that, and, you know, it got complicated in terms of making sure it's an apples-to-apples transfer on development rights so that you are, you know, obtaining density one place for equal kind of land in another, you know, that type of thing. So they were all considered in some depth that, you know, not all of them got adopted, but a good number did.
Yep. My last ask is in the area of transparency, and that is that we know that you don't sign up for these positions, except for Mr. Robertson, for fame or fortune.
Hmm.
You put an awful lot of time and a lot of talent and a lot of hours, and you put up with a lot, some of which we heard earlier. I reviewed... let me back up. But I also know that this group is critical in writing the new plan and influencing the new plan. So I was curious in terms of a commissioner, and I know that we're going to be onboarding several commissioners in 2017.
I think just one.
Well, just one.
Yeah.
We just got two new ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna end up with three relatively new commissioners.
Okay. So to that point, whether it's one or three, I looked up in the Delaware Code, Chapter 68, Planning and Zoning, and it stated that appointees shall be persons having knowledge and experience to pass upon planning and zoning problems in connection with urban and rural development. What are the experience and the qualifications for a planning and zoning commissioner?
Well, they can come from any number of fields. Certainly, if you're a person with real estate experience, with engineering experience, with safety, public safety experience, certain types of construction experience are valuable to understanding how things get put together. And in some instances, just, you know, business experience would be those are the kind of things that that I think the law is alluding to. And Mr. Robertson, if you want to.
No, I would say that there's probably not a one-size-fits-all description of that. It's, you know, what the commission and council who appoints people to the commission looks for is somebody who has sort of a broad understanding of, you know, issues in Sussex County, so that, you know, they bring to the table a knowledge of not just a single project, but maybe how that affects other areas, you know. So it's, you know, it's not a set of criteria you can list off, you know. But I do know that each time somebody's appointed, because I've been here long enough to see, as Mr. Wheatley has, and certainly Mr. Lank has, you know, a number of commissioners get appointed, and there's always a lot of thought and consideration that goes into it. And it's not, you know, that we want somebody that has this set of qualifications. It's somebody that we feel like will bring something to the commission table, you know. And one of the things they also look at is diversity, you know, that if there's somebody who has a contractor's experience, you know, they don't want a commission full of contractors, you know, or real estate agents or business people. They want to kind of, you know, get an across-the-board type of understanding and background from people that serve. So that there's different points of view on everything.
Okay. I think the public is interested because typically the way we find out is in the newspaper when there's a two-paragraph article mm-hmm. about someone who's being nominated. And then maybe 3 weeks later, that individual has been approved by the council.
Yeah.
So the public kind of scratches his head and wonders. I mean, these are really important jobs, and this is extremely important time that we're going forward in putting a 10-year plan together. And I think the public is interested in understanding.
They actually changed that recently because it used to be that there were just appointments. Now there's an interview process that these two gentlemen went through before council and then before they voted. So there's more transparency than there used to be.
Right. So. And again, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when you consider that there's a high percentage of recommendations coming from the Planning Commission that in many people's eyes appear to be rubber stamped by the council, then the Planning and Zoning in many people's minds is more critical than the council positions. As it relates to things that people are concerned about, and we heard that all through the evening.
I think what you find with that is that this group here is pretty much apolitical. We really don't get into the politics of the issues too much because our charge is to evaluate applications against the ordinance. Mm-hmm. And it's the ordinance is really where it all lives and dies, and I know that it might seem that there's a rubber stamping, so to speak, but generally, though, when two different groups evaluate the same criteria against the same standard, it's not unusual for them to arrive at the same answer. Mm-hmm. The other thing that happens is that our group is pretty good at evaluating the ordinance and sort of sticking to that. And anytime that the council votes against the Planning and Zoning Commission, they have to have a very good reason for doing that mm-hmm. because the courts have upheld that the Planning and Zoning Commission is the county's expert body on land use planning. And if your council votes against your expert body, they have to have a really good reason mm-hmm. for doing it. And not liking something is not a good reason.
Absolutely.
You know, so, because believe me, we vote for a good many things
right.
that we may not personally like. And that's why this land use plan process is so important, because And believe me, I hear what you're saying about the ordinances, and I'm glad you're bringing it up, and you should keep bringing it up, because if we're going to have a plan, then let's have a plan.
Good. Just one final comment is that there are a lot of people who feel that, past behavior is an indicator of future behavior. And if people are upset with regards to what appears to be the nonstop approval in terms of development, and we have the same mechanisms in place.
Right.
People feel that if you've got a real estate background and a construction background and a commercial development background, it in many people's eyes it seems like the scales a bit tipped. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not the first person you've heard that from, but that's. As we talk amongst ourselves, and we do talk to other citizens groups, that seems to be kind of the tone.
Well, part of that is you keep electing them. If you keep electing these folks, because they're the ones that appoint us. I hate to put the heat on you, Mr. Burton, but the fact is, it's all about your county council people. I mean, you've got, look at us. We're supposed to have expertise in a particular area. It's not surprising to me at all that you have real estate people, construction people, public safety people,
right.
Here, because that's what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have that level of experience. Now, when you start electing those people to county council as well, then, the concern you're speaking of, might arise. So if you want different kind of folks, you need to elect different kind of folks.
Absolutely.
So.
With that, I'm sure that the only thing between me and your eggnog this evening, so I will depart. Thanks for the opportunity to make public comment, and I all the best to you and your families for the holiday season. Well,
thank you for coming in. Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak in regard to the land use plan? Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. What do you care? You're leaving.
Sorry, but there is one other thing between you and your eggnog. That's me. My name is Jeanette Actor. I live in Selbyville. And first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this evening. Initially, I'd just like to piggyback onto Mr. Barroso's comments and ask you to do something. No one knows how hard your job is as well as you know. And you know better than any of the rest of us what requirements are on your shoulders, what pressures are on your shoulders, what additional facilities and backup you wish you had, what requirements you would see in the perfect P&Z commissioner. And the request is that you relay this information to members of the county council who will be making appointments of, for example, your replacement, Mr. Burton. In the public's mind, it should be someone with particular requirements, such as probably a legal background, probably someone who understands how to get along with a lot of different kinds of people, someone who understands that Sussex County is not going to stand still, there is going to be growth. But it needs to be balanced and intelligent growth and not runaway growth that's uncontrolled. So please use your expertise and pass that on to County Council. The primary reason why I came this evening was to briefly point out an area of public concern. And although I'm speaking as an individual, I've heard this concern expressed by many of the groups that I tend to interact with here, and that is about the transparency and accountability of the public input into the comprehensive plan. We remember that in the 2008 comprehensive plan, there were challenges that were raised because it wasn't particularly evident what the public input was into that process. This time around, it's quite different, and just as been mentioned already, I think a huge commendation to the staff for the incredible job they did on setting up the Sussex Plan webpage and all that's available there and all that will be available there. There's opportunity there for placing comments, and already posted on there is the results of the board exercises of the five forums, which were held in September and October. Those board exercises generated hundreds of different public comments on all different aspects and elements of the plan from all five areas. And I understand that further forums will be held and more public input will be coming. We also know that we can appear before you at public and that these PNC's commission meetings, and we appreciate these opportunities for comment. And also we can comment at county council. There's also possibility to submit other position papers in other ways. But the question is that we wish to know who is responsible for reading all this public comment and for processing it and for deciding which part will be placed into the comprehensive plan and which will not be placed into the comprehensive plan. We would like to know, is this going to be a transparent process? And if so, when and where and how can we see it?
Well, I mean, I'll give credit to Janelle on that because she's done a good job, I guess, with M&T, but of consolidating, not, well, I guess that's the right word, all the public comments that come in on the website. And every couple of weeks, what she does is put together a list of those that are circulated everywhere, and I think they end up back on the website, too.
They are not on the website, but they are available for review in the planning office. Yeah. There is an entire folder. It keeps growing day by day of all comments, and it includes things that people have called and left a comment, or they've walked in and left comments, but most of them are from the website. So there is a stack of comments in a folder in the planning office for anybody to come in and take a look at.
And those are circulated to everybody that you see up here to review.
We all see.
Yeah. Them. And in terms of the transparency, once we get through the first of the year, well, into January and February, you know, all this is going to be done in either meetings here. We've talked about having additional meetings just to deal with comp plan issues. There'll probably be, I know there's going to be some joint meetings with council again. So all that is going to be occurring in public. You know, not all of them will be public hearings. Some of them will be, they'll all be public meetings. There's a difference between a hearing and a meeting. A public meeting where we're discussing with our consultant different proposals, different ideas, what do you want to do, what do you don't want to do, and that's going to be, you know, everybody up here having that conversation. There'll be others where we'll be taking public input, but the whole time we'll be taking public comment through the website and any other portals that we have. So, no, it's going to be, and that's one of the things that we talked about from the very beginning on this one. I don't know that we want to say we wanted to do it different from the prior one for a lot of reasons, because technology's changed so much since the prior one, but we wanted to make this one very transparent with opportunities for people to comment besides showing up at a fire hall or here, and have as many meetings as we could to try to go through all the different elements and everything else. So everybody has to kind of remember we're still fairly early in the process. You know, our consultant's still gathering information. We're still kind of trying to figure out the direction we want to go in light of all the comments we've got from the public and interviews that have been done with different stakeholders and everything else. So I know that was another long answer by me, but there's going to be a lot of opportunity for public participation.
Well, we appreciate that. I do think that we all realize that the process now, since 2008, is quite different. The population has changed. The degree of oversight by the public has also changed. I think you see difference in participation in these meetings, for example, and the quality of challenges, unfortunately. And questions sometimes that you probably face is probably at a different level than it was 10 years ago. The public is very interested in this, they're very tuned in, and we want not only to participate, but we want to see the fruit of our participation in the plan. Because this is all where we all have to live, and this is what we're going to pass down to whoever passes after us. Finally, thank you very much, as has been mentioned, for your service, your hard work. We don't realize how hard your job is. Particularly, Mr. Lank, wish to personally and publicly for all of us thank you for your years of wisdom and knowledge and dedication. We will miss you.
I'm not sure about the wisdom and knowledge, though. Thank you for that.
Well, thanks for being dedicated. And finally, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all.
Same to you. Merry Christmas to you. Anyone else like to speak on the land use plan? All right, then. We have two other items of business. We have to appoint a planning and commission secretary, since our secretary is going to be leaving us. Now, is this appointment by consensus, or does the chairman appoint someone, or do we vote on it, or what?
I want Dave to give you the...
I want somebody to tell me how secretary. We're supposed to do it.
Actually, the secretary can be appointed by the chairperson.
All right.
So who do we have? You're the secretary, right?
I'm secretary now.
Yeah.
Secretary now. That's right. And I think
it's an appointment by the chair.
Yeah.
All and right, then you typically the chair makes the motion in this case, and the members vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think as chairman, I will propose that the new secretary be Janelle Cornwell.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously elected.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Madam Secretary.
I will do my best.
You get your own TV show.
Secretary to the board. Yes.
Okay. Please be advised that there is no increase in pay for that. Just so you know.
It's okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're also our final item is to accept any public comment. If there's anyone here that might like to comment, yes, sir, with your hand up in the back.
Good evening. I'm Paul Ricker, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Thank you for putting public comment on the agenda for stuff that didn't pertain to the comprehensive plan.
That's right.
Appreciate it very much to have in your roles and how you do it. Basically, I've been in front of the county council in the public comments for the last couple of years going over different ordinances and different regulations concerning the zoning. With different zoning. And I'm trying to come up with different things that I want to put in for different definition changes for a list and things that make sense in the code. And I just have a couple of them that I'd like to ask. The main one, I wish Mr. Ross, Commissioner Ross was here, because this mainly deals with farming, any farm use, and this. In the siding ordinance, with different things, different acreage, smaller ones, had more rights for the signs than a bigger acreage farm. And different things were set up differently because of different words. But I have a few major things. I just want an opinion if you, or see if there's a better way for a definition, is the property line for a fence right now is 42 things. It says what's considered a permitted fence on the front property line, and it does a fence 42 inches or taller need a variance. You go through the county, how many of the fences are over 4 feet? Most of them are 4 foot, some of them are lower, but is every one of them an illegal fence out there without a variance? I don't think the Board of Adjustment does that many variances for the fences out there. The concern is, I believe it should be brought up to 48 inches. Keep it simple, have anybody come in for a permit, done, 48 inches, you're done. You want to go over 48 inches, you need a variance. Second thing is considering barbed wire. There's nothing in our code considering barbed wire. I happen to have a neighbor that has barbed wire up over the 4 foot line in a general residential area. I need that specifically spelled out, trying to understand where that is allowed and not allowed. Because I heard Mr. Ross say at one of the meetings one night, in an AR on an AR lot, agriculture residential, barbed wire not acceptable. Granted, it was a storage area, boat storage. But if the guy put a goat or a cow on the field overnight when he got the permit, put the barbed wire up, barbed wire is there to stay, I would assume. Cal disappears tomorrow, he now has his legal barbed wire fence signed off on. The third thing is, what is a farm pond? And this one directly for you. You deal with all the different plots with all the different farm ponds. I had a disagreement concerning a simple definition of farm pond. If a person has different little ponds on a little acreage lot, not over 5 acres, over four, you end up accumulating 165 mallards. That's a farm pond, which should be approved by the director and meet the 50-foot setbacks. If we're not meeting that, I don't know, but I'm just looking for different definitions for a farm pond. I haven't found anything where what size is a farm pond start, what is a farm pond. The storage containers, the Connex storage containers, like your pod boxes out here, the bigger ones that are 40 feet, 53 feet, right now they're considered just a regular shed on your building zone. When you're doing your conditional uses, when you're looking at their site plan, their plans on doing a conditional use, and they have those trailers next to their businesses, do you consider them permanent structures or temporary? And are they permitted in as a permanent structure and paying taxes on it? Not just a temporary, well, it's moved here or there. So, I mean, it could happen in a GR, which I live in a GR, not an AR. And number four, I'm just trying to figure out, and this one I hope somebody here could answer me a little bit better, is the difference between general residential district, GR, is more agriculture oriented than an AR. And this I said the other day at the county council meeting, was the fact is, I can build a bigger building on my property. If I have my house so many feet off the property line, I can go closer to that sideline on my 3 acres than a person in AR, where I would think that it would be the direct opposite, or at least be equivalent. AR and GR would have the same side setbacks on that lot for 3 acres. Why should I be able to have an extra 5 feet on that? And I forget what the rear setback is on it. So my opinion is the GR, and the GR is medium density, and the AR is rural. Why is it more of the GR going more, if, like I said the other day, if I was doing the AR versus the GR and I was doing farming, I'd want it to be GR. It seems like GR is more agriculture related than AR. But nothing in the purpose of the GR leads to the farm and the agriculture, as to whereas the AR designated leads into the AR. But I'm just trying to get it to where we don't have a simple fit or words around anything. Try and get it. And to come back to that with the GR versus the AR, everything's permitted the same in AR and GR, but why do we put a special use in a GR for a private stable when we're already allowed? So I'm just trying to figure it out, trying to get different definitions, maybe being a little pain. But everything that I've seen and I've been stung on, because you could take the code and you could twist it. You take it like I brought up the 165 ducks. Planning and zoning can't touch them because they were mallards. But they were bought at the same auction as you can buy those farm ducks. Because one's a white duck, the county could have enforced the 100 count. But because they're mallards, they're non-enforceable. A duck's a duck. So, until they died by illegal hunting on the property,
that's a new one to me. Yeah.
That, bear me no wrong, am I correct? I apologize, Director Lank, am I correct on that analogy? That with those ducks, we couldn't do nothing about 165 ducks because they weren't farm ducks. They could not be counted. The person came, actually, long story short, the neighbors bought two people from Greenwood over duck hunting in those fawn ponds, which were literally in a safety zone. So they paid their duck stamp fine. They paid other fines. They got away, the safety zone now all the way to the backwoods. But that's all done. They paid their fines. It's all sent back. The people took care of that. But I am arguing over with the sunflowers in the front with the barbed wire going around the property. Now the front part of it is enclosed for sunflowers. And meanwhile, I'm neglected where I can't even take my, I'm not taking my two horses and running them on the property line because he's allowed to keep his barbed wire. Now, he wants to keep his couple horses in there and watch them go through. That's more power on him with the fence there. And it's only single wire. The fence is an incomplete fence. But it's what we need is we need to really look at that stuff, come up with different things, and everybody has to be on the same page between planning, zoning, county council to come up with the ideas to improve it. And hopefully going forward, if you can keep public comment for more than just comprehensive plan, it would be an excellent opportunity for the residents.
All right, sir. Thank you.
So, Mr. Wheatley, I guess with that being said, what we sort of did is, since it is, well, let me start off first. It's Mr. Burton's last meeting, so it's been a pleasure working with you. That's enough, thanks. Okay. We'll see you next year.
I'll be around.
Yeah. But since it's Mr. Lank's last meeting, and he's probably going to be mad at me, but I sort of talked to some of the folks in the audience, if anybody wanted to say something, you know, probably tell stories a little bit about Mr. Lank. I'll start off, I guess, unless somebody else wants to go.
Already been roasted twice.
Yeah, it's not a roast. It's not that bad. The first thing, Brett Dyer, who I think most everybody knows, he told me that he wasn't going
to
be here tonight. And my first thought was, oh, thank goodness, because we'd be here for the next 2 weeks. My second thought was, if Brett was here, that'd be another way to keep you around for another 2 weeks, because you keep talking for that much time. Anyway, his comment that he said was he wanted to convey his good wishes to you. And he also wanted to let you know that he appreciated all the good work that you've done and how hard you've worked and how much knowledge you have. And in fact, his comment was, it's going to take at least four people plus Jesus to fill your shoes. So anyway, I kind of wanted to go back to when I first started with Mr. Lank. I was a law clerk, and it was, I think, in 1993.
Well, I'd like to be on tape.
Yeah, no, it's not anything bad. But, you know, my only other job in Sussex County ever in Delaware was working at Funland. So I really didn't know, you know, anything about what was going on. And as some of the lawyers here know, they don't teach you about zoning or surveys or land use or who Lawrence Lank is in law school. And so the first time that I ever came over as a law clerk, you know, somebody said, you know, you got to go talk to Mr. Lank about whatever it was, a survey. And the first thing I thought of was the picture that was in the PowerPoint where he's like, you know, the Lawrence Lank scowl. And the only advice I was given was, don't call him Larry. And I thought to myself, I'm not even calling him Lawrence, it's Mr. Lank. But anyway, so I came over that day, and it's like everybody's dealt with. He was super helpful. He went out of his way, you know, to help me with whatever it was that needed help with. He was like that through all the years before I was one of the county attorneys. And when I became one of the assistant county attorneys, not much that far removed from working at Funland, frankly, I still didn't know what was going on. And he was very gracious and accommodating and helped me not mess up anything, frankly. So I really appreciate that. The whole way through it, I think, as everybody can experience who's worked with him, you know, we all work with Lawrence, but we're all good friends with him. And as everybody out in the audience knows and everybody up here knows, you know, we have our disagreements. We argue sometimes. We don't see eye to eye on things. But at the end of the day, we always are good friends. And I really am going to miss that. We're still going to be friends, but seeing you around or sitting next to me, that's going to be hard not having you here. So I wish you the best of luck. Enjoy your golf game, and don't let Joe and Gene and Jim steal all your pension money while you're playing golf. So.
That ain't gonna happen.
Good luck with everything, and you know, best wishes. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you.
So, yeah, whoever's next, I guess. What, am I the only one that likes Lawrence? Come on.
Joe, Joe's already had his shot. You only get one chance, right, Mr. Wheatley?
No. I hired you, so I get two chances.
Actually, you did.
Yeah, I did. And I could tell a few stories that I didn't want to tell Friday. You know, I've spoken a lot of retirement, so you got to be careful. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people who've retired. And it was easy to come up with something to say. I mean, Stickles, can you imagine the lines that I had with Stickles and Dave Baker, who I also hired? But it was hard coming up with anything. But let me just tell you that Lawrence was hired. I heard a gentleman talk about qualifications, which bothers me because I look at the Planning and Zoning Commission and I think they're qualified to do everything that's required of Planning and Zoning Commissioners. It's those who have agendas that talk about other things. But we hired Lawrence in the years when politics was supreme in this county, and his opponent was a levy court commissioner who came in and politely told, well, not politely, he just told me straight out that, that we needed to hire him because he had experience. And I pointed out that the levy court didn't do zoning, but that didn't seem to bother him. And I said, we're committed. We're committed to Lawrence Lank because he's the best qualified. And my God, he still is the best qualified. Janelle, I don't envy you. Don't envy you. But
four people in Jesus, apparently.
Yeah. But I can say that I will get, no, because he'll be my partner because the two we usually play against. But we'll get their money, Lawrence, because we're both pensioners and we need to keep our money. And that's all I'm going to say because there's not much you can say bad, if anything, about Lawrence Lank, a friend of mine.
Only because payback's hell. Excuse me.
Vince had called and said maybe it'd be nice if some of us old timers got here tonight to say goodbye to Lawrence for official meeting. It's not a eulogy. I realize you're not dead yet. You're just not going to be here. So, but I called Vince yesterday and I said, is there any program or anything we should do? And Vince said, no, it's very informal. He said, just think of a couple of things about Lawrence you admire and just address that. And then I sat down and I said, it's going to be a lot harder than I thought. So anyway, I wanted to show this to Lawrence. I'll read it to you. This is just minutes of the Planning and Zoning meeting. It's a Planning and Zoning meeting from January 13th, 1977. And the regular meeting of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission was held Thursday evening, January 13th, at 7:45 p.m. That's when the meetings used to start, at 7:45.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. The following people were present, and these are names that Lawrence will remember. Mr. Wilson, Mr. Davis, Mr. Allen, a young Mr. Allen, Mr. Monroe, Mr. Smith, that was Rodney's father, Mr. Davis, attorney, that was Clay Davis, who was the attorney at that time, Mr. Dodd, environmental control, I don't even know what the environmental control is, but Mr. Derrickson, Roland Derrickson, was the director at that time, Mr. Lank, and Mr. Betts. And that's the end of that sentence. Then there's another sentence. It says, also, Mr. Fuquay, attorney, was present. And this was my first meeting. I was replacing Clay Davis, and he came to this first meeting to hold my hand and to introduce me to the commissioners. And that's probably when I formally first met Lawrence. And that'll be 40 years ago next month. So I represented the Planning Department, the Planning and Zoning Commission, I think maybe for about 8 or 10 years. At the time, I will be the first to say that it was not a merit appointment. I didn't really know what the Planning and Zoning Commission did, to be perfectly honest with you. In fact, I thought Planning and Zoning sounded like a contradiction in terms, but that's go somewhere else. But in that period of time, particularly in the early years, I just learned so much from Lawrence. Working with Lawrence on a weekly, sometimes a daily basis, of just the problems that come up in the county. I used to ride around in a car with him and Roland Derrickson looking at mobile home park violations and things of that nature. I really learned from the grassroots about zoning. And then, of course, as everyone already knows, Lawrence's knowledge of the code and knowledge of zoning and knowledge of Sussex County was just unbelievable. He was a computer before there were computers with that kind of information. So I learned a lot about zoning from him, and eventually, when I was no longer representing the county, that's the area law I got into, and based on that solid foundation, that's basically the career I made as a lawyer in land use law. And to this day, I still get my name in the paper doing things, and I still get people cursing at me when I go to Walmart from some of the things I've done. But so I guess I can thank Lawrence for all of that. He has been, he was a teacher, he was a colleague. And most importantly, over that period of time, and you gentlemen all know that you make a lot of, you meet a lot of people in what you do. You make a lot of acquaintances. And if you're lucky, you make some friends. And Lawrence has been a friend. We've been friends for a long time. It's that Sussex County way of, we're very good friends, but we also, in a professional capacity, we don't, like Vince said, we don't agree all the time. Lawrence and I just had an appeal matter before the Board of Adjustment because we didn't agree about something. But he really has been quite a great influence on me and a friend. And again, thank you, Lawrence. And again, I know you're not, this isn't a eulogy. I will see you, but thank you.
It sounded like it, since there was all those people you made reference to aren't with us anymore except you and I.
No peer pressure.
I'll be briefer. I've worked with Lawrence for 42 years, and he was here 5 years before I was, and still knows a lot more than I do. By the way, the Eagles are leading at halftime 21-13. What set Lawrence apart initially, in my mind, was his unfailing patience. We all know he served the county with honor and distinction. We know he knows the county code better than anybody. He is the county's institutional memory. But what set him apart is his unfailing courtesy to everybody. Cranky lawyers, idiots, fools, crazy people, unfailingly polite all the time. In fact, to conclude, he's the last county employee I know who will speak to Jim Truitt.
Thank you, Gene. Really appreciate that.
Well, I'm only slightly older than these two guys. Actually, Gene may be a teeny older than I am, but I started work with the landslide of 1972 when Mr. Conaway became the county administrator after a Republican county council that had three people in it, and we went to five. I didn't start working in the zoning area for a long time after that, but as working with the county council, I came into contact with Lawrence early and often, doing any number of things, and there have been a great many changes, and I want to pitch a couple names. Mary Burton, we had Till Purnell. I remember Edgar Downs used to show up and complain about stuff from time to time, and almost all of the people that you and I would recall, except Joe, have probably passed on. And that includes a lot of Joe's closer than Lawrence and I put together. I want to know where they get their haircuts. That's really the important thing. But throughout all that time, and I'm going to reiterate something Gene said, Lawrence's comprehensive knowledge of the zoning code or the land use plan is unequal. I think that of all the attorneys that have served working for planning and zoning commission, and Vince and me and Jim are 35 years of experience doing that. He always knows the answer. We can argue with him sometimes, and the arguments are polite, but he almost always knows the code better than we do. The remarkable thing about Lawrence is, as Gene pointed out, is his demeanor, his ability to calm the waters and keep things from getting out of control and being even-handed, either with proponents or opponents of application, whether they want to come in and talk about silliness or they have objections that don't make any sense. He always remains calm and keeps the situation collected. And for that, we all owe him a great debt of gratitude. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you. You've been a good friend, and you've been a good steward of this office for the county.
You said have been. Is that correct?
Since I think I'm the youngest one here, I just want to say it's been a pleasure. I'm born and raised in Milton. You know, I got to, I think, meet Lawrence the first time when I used to come over here and play baseball. And then graduating from college and going into engineering, I've been with Davis Bowen for 19 years. And during that 19-year process, you know, I was the young engineer coming to the county. And, you know, Lawrence was always, you know, helping me through, you know, certain things, answering my questions. So, I mean, he was definitely as one of them said, a good teacher, and, you know, over the years, 19 years, I mean, and it seems like yesterday I just started, but, and also a good friend, so thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Zach. Zach and I met in 1987 in Fort Lauderdale during a big league baseball tournament. Yeah. He was on the Georgetown team.
I'd like to say that.
What's your name?
Yeah.
I need your license.
Yeah, there you go. Back in 1986, I was coming out of college, and I was bartending at the Blue Gold Inn, so I certainly do know about most folks in this town. I know where some of the skeletons are buried. But I started with a local firm here in Georgetown, Mantalli, no longer in business. Actually, they were acquired by Pannoni Associates, the firm that I merged my company with. But in 1986, I started engineering, land planning, surveying with this company, and met Lawrence over here at the courthouse, and started working on projects. And it was a few years later where I started to learn the process of presenting projects, or beginning to learn the process of presenting projects before commissioners here and the county council. And I was given my first task by Mantalli to present a project. And I was a nervous wreck. And I kept coming over here and meeting with Mr. Lang, trying to figure out what to do. I didn't know what to do. And I was thrown into the ring, and Mr. Lang pretty much educated me on how to present my first project before the commissioners. And he basically told me everything I should say, everything I shouldn't say. He told me to keep it brief, which sometimes that's hard to do. But Mr. Lank's knowledge of the code was certainly an asset that was something that I picked up on in order for me to become the land planner that I think I am and that I've become for the past 30 years. I attribute all that to Mr. Lank. Lawrence, you basically, you know the code. You are the code. You taught me to read the code. Projects that I present, not only to the county, but to all the municipalities that I work in Sussex County, the code is the first thing that I read. I read it in its entirety before I present a project. I like to think that I know the code better than most, but not as good as you do, because we certainly, from time to time, or quite often, you and I sat over there in your office and just kind of going back and forth about how to read the code and how to interpret the code. So for 30 years, I've been working in this county, love this county, and presented these projects. And again, it was you that has made me a better land planner. And I certainly do appreciate it. And I'm definitely going to miss all the education and all the knowledge that you've given me over the years. Thank you.
So it's a land planner, and lawyers and administrators can learn a lot from a draftsman.
That's correct.
Ed, I think I met Mark maybe before he started
to
working in
this building. I get seconds.
Because he was my youngest son's coach in soccer. And I don't know if you're doing planning then.
No.
So I met him before he really
One
got
final thing about Lawrence, gentlemen. Speaking of any friend and colleague, and in this case Lawrence, it's a true friend and colleague who makes all of us appear smarter than we really are. That's Lawrence. He makes us all a little smarter than any of us is. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to just
run that at work.
Well, let me just weigh in on something here. I got a little institutional story that just happened last Friday, right? And The Janelle and the land planners and Lawrence and I sat down downstairs, and we were looking at a map on how we were going to, how the comprehensive land use plan was going to work. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this map. There's no road names on the map. There's absolutely nothing on this map but the towns, the color towns. And the consultants from M&T were saying, well, what's this? Well, that's Zor Road. It crosses over here to Camp Ray. It goes over here. And it was like, whoa, how do you know that? And he did the entire county without a name on the map. And I said, Lawrence, what's this? Oh, that's on the wrong side of the road. It belongs over there. Yeah. And the road wasn't even named. So you'll be missed, Lawrence. That was an unbelievable two-hour experience.
I'd use a map. That's how come I know. And I got the map back. Well, thank you.
There was one. Did you want to read the letter from Rodney? He wanted that read.
Yeah, I have a little something here. We'll all probably get a kick out of. Yeah. This is from
scary thought.
Former Commissioner Rodney Smith. So you won't be surprised. As to the retirement of Mr. Lank, it was a very distinct and memorable pleasure to be an active part of Mr. Lank's many, many, many Thursday nights. There was never a doubt in my mind that if and when an agenda item may hit a bumpy spot, that Mr. Lank would be able to throw a lifeline. Boy, that's the truth. His skills, honed by experience, were tested time and again, but always prevailed. Mr. Lank was truly the good shepherd and tended his flock with a practiced and precise nonchalance that belied the effort that was often demanded of him. Mr. Lank, please accept our conversation on Tuesday as my heartfelt reminiscence of our service together. This does not end as a goodbye. It transfers to a new and wonderful chapter in your life as you walk tall among countless friends. Those that know you will speak well of you for years to come. Those future conversations will not be in hushed tones, but rather with men standing at attention and on tiptoe to try and pay tribute to the high bar that you so solidly raised above your shoulders. Sincerely, Rodney Smith.
Is that something to do with Jesus shoes?
Yeah, that's right.
But he does make a good point about throwing a lifeline, because I remember one meeting, and I think it might have been when I had my hernia operated on, or I may have been that I had been up for almost 24 hours because I'd been traveling and was trying to get back here for a meeting. I actually fell asleep for just nodded out for a moment, and Lawrence very graciously said, our next public hearing is, and of course loud enough to wake me up.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I remember it well. It was over at the other, it was back when we were in the other
building. Oh, they were tight quarters.
Yeah. And so, yes, you were always bailing us out of situations where we were in the weeds, and you were always there to pull us out, and you know, we're going to miss that. But at the same time, I have no doubt that Ms. Cornwell will rise to the occasion as time goes on, and we hope that you come back and see us once in a while.
Thanks.
You're not doing anything on a Thursday night.
I'll be around.
Stop by.
Don't say where. I'll be around.
Well, so, anyone else like to speak?
I've had enough.
Anyone on the commission have any questions?
It's a football game.
Okay. We stand adjourned. Peace and hope.